everybody, and welcome back to Don't Quit Your Day Job. My name is Paul. I am your host today. One of the original Florida men, maybe the original Florida man. I guess we'll find out. Steve C. from Wrath and the Wise Guys, amongst other things. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff today. Yeah. Steve, thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me, man.
It's been a minute since you've been on the show, and lots of stuff to talk about. But before we get into that, I was doing some, you've heard of the internet, right? You know what the internet is, Steve?
A little bit of the internet.
So I was looking for Steve C or Stevie C to see if I could see anything. And I found dubstep and jungle producer DJ based in Orlando, Florida.
Really?
Yes.
Well, that's, well, not me.
The picture, right. The picture is definitely not you, but so you haven't heard of this dude before. I know Florida's a big state, all jokes aside. So, and you're not in Orlando, but you've never heard of this dude before.
Right. No, I'm only like 2 hours from Orlando, so it's not like Narnia or anything, but, but no, I mean, C is not really my last name either. Right. It's one of those fake Facebook right. thing. So I haven't actually done like a deep dive on like any other Steve C's, but no, surprisingly. Yeah. I mean, it seems like everyone and their mom around here is a dubstep producer though. So yeah.
So that's definitely not your thing, right? You're not moving in that direction anytime soon?
Not soon, but interestingly enough, if you go, I wonder if it's still up there on the Wrath Bandcamp. Like my original when I was just solo, but I do have like a 4-track techno.
Yeah, that was exactly. That was I checked that out before your first interview, which is already more than a year ago, and it was before you put the band together in Florida.
Yes, that was wow. You know, that was pre-COVID, so I think I mentioned last time that COVID was what really sparked me to start writing and forming a band again, and I was just more. I don't want to say like more like in the electronic scene or anything. I guess I never really have been, but I started listening to a little bit more of that. And that was just a way to continue being creative, especially musically.
And you've been doing, so let's take a step back. A lot of what we talked about last time was Wrath and the Wise Guys. So this is your punk band, but in the interim between then and now, you've sort of branched out and you're doing other things as well. So let's talk about some of the other projects you have going on first.
Okay. Is there any one in particular you wanted or just?
No, I think you can start by just rattling some off. The point I want to get to is you're doing a little bit of promotion or you're doing some other stuff besides just being in a band. So I want to get there, but let's talk about some of the musical projects you got going on.
Okay. I actually have over here, I've been playing bass in a band called Fear the Spider since last October. And I played my first show with them in November. And that's okay, that. Cool. Oh, it's going to blur it. Oh, let's on my face. Look at that. Fear the Spider. Okay. And so I've been playing with them. We have a couple more shows booked in December. So that's been a lot of fun. Other than that, I've got no vacancy media. And so, yeah, through that, we promote shows. And I've been recently actually delving back into like video game making. I did that a little bit in high school and a year or two, actually probably a couple years ago before I had my band, discovered this program called GB Studio. And it makes Game Boy games like exclusively to that. So you can export it and play it on an emulator. And I found the hardware to make actual stuff. So getting into that for a couple of bands, actually just seeing how we can translate what they're doing to a different medium.
So that's interesting. Let's talk about the video games for a second, right? So is that just a way, okay, I'll make a game and I'll try to sell it? Or is that a way to express yourself artistically or maybe both of those things? But I also think about, couldn't you sell the idea to bands, right? And so here's a game for your new album, and here's a way that you could maybe stand apart from the crowd of 1 trillion bands all releasing original music.
Right. That's definitely an aspect of it. The first time I did it musically was three, it might have been 5 years ago. Now that I'm looking at the Facebook memories and stuff, I had a show called Hallapalooza. And it was, you know, a really stacked gig. So I made a mini game where all the different artists had, you know, little levels and stuff. And that, and the show kind of flopped. There was a weird thing with the venue owner at that time and, you know, all kinds of weird stuff. But that's definitely the realm. And then last year, I want to say it was about exactly a year ago, they unveiled it like at Fest, but another band around here called Wolfface put out a, I think it was a Super Nintendo game or maybe an original Nintendo game called 8-Bit Son of a Bitch. And I was like, damn, they took my idea. But, you know, but it's cool to see other people, you know, it's not just me. And it's different platforms, you know, it's still Nintendo and whatever, but I feel like the Game Boy is a little more accessible and you can get the emulator on your phone and play it like a real Game Boy and stuff like that.
Okay. So. Yeah, that's cool. I definitely think that there, you know, I make jokes about there being so many bands or scenes that are really crowded and there's a real struggle there for bands, right? How do you get your new music in front of other people? So I was just talking to Mark Tremaglia, who's been on the, of course, my friend in LA, who's on the show a lot. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about the new Stones thing, right? The Stones don't need to put out songs. They just don't need to, right? Right. And, but when they put out a song that's good, one, it's surprising, right? Wow, the Stones can still write a decent song. But two, if the Stones put out a song, everybody knows they put out a song, right? They get publicity for free just because of who they are, right? But the gulf between every band and the Stones is enormous, right? You need to go on the event horizon to be able to get to that point. So what does Wrath and the Wise Guys, what do you guys do to try to be different? Are there answers in things like Game Boy emulators?
Unfortunately, trying to set yourself apart with a video game is really hard because they're very intensive to make and they take a long time, especially if you're the only one doing it. So it's sort of like trying to do that per release, unless you've got your release out. You've got it recorded and you're planning a nice like year-long promotion. It's really hard to do that. So I mean, it's definitely one thing to be different. But I really don't know. It's really hard to just be different. And I feel like, I mean, it sounds like a cop-out, but being genuine constantly is, I feel like, one of the things that really works, you know, like not putting up any kind of front or trying to write certain songs or trying to appeal to anybody and just being present.
Right. Right. And I guess I would argue that none of it matters if you don't write good songs anyways. Right.
So well, yeah. Yeah.
How do you guys figure out what's good and what's not good internally?
I just try it. I mean, whatever feels good, you know what I mean? Like and that comes back to being genuine. If it feels good, do it. If not, leave it behind next time, you know?
Right. All right. So let's talk about, I guess, more of your day-to-day life. So the name of this podcast is Don't Quit Your Day Job. Don't in parentheses, because because the idea there is maybe you can quit your day job. I don't know, right? Mm-hmm. But you probably shouldn't, I guess, is my advice if you want to survive.
Right.
But you have quit your day job.
Right. I did not take your advice. well, you know, money is definitely a necessary evil. So you got to have it coming from somewhere. Right. And my wife could just handle having two work from home jobs at a time. And, you know, that made more than enough. And as we were having the conversation, we've got a son. And so he comes home from school and it was kind of the point where I would bring him home and have to rush off to work. And then she's working for a couple more hours and it just wasn't really conducive for raising a new individual. So, you know, we started talking about it and, you know, I'm mulling it over and she doesn't want me to lose, you know, the aspect of me being able to provide things and stuff like that. But that same weekend that we were talking about it, an Uber driver less than a quarter mile from my restaurant was chopped up and disposed of by an MS-13 member who had broken out of jail. And so that was a real, you know, for me, I was like, all right, fuck it. You know, like I don't feel like I should have to carry a gun on my job for a $5 tip. So it was kind of like, all right, well, you know, if I should find a safer way in general, but you know, something that works for my family as well. So it freed up a lot of time for me to do things like make video games and other stupid shit and try more things.
And I guess that leads to my next question, right? So now if you have obligations, say pick up your son or bring him to school or any of those sorts of things, right? You have normal sort of household obligations, which mm-hmm. I think it's important for all of us to not downplay those things. These are important mm-hmm. things that need to be done, and we shouldn't diminish them because you're not going to make your $5 million bonus this year, right? That's not the idea. But is it important to continue to structure your day? I'm going to work on video games for these 2 hours, or I'm going to do music for these 2 hours. So what are you doing to figure out how you're spending your time in ways that feel productive for you?
I mean, like you mentioned, it's very important to structure what I'm doing. So there are definitely days where I get caught playing video games until it's time for me to go get my son. And I'm like, oh shit. And then I justify it because in order to create art, you got to consume it in some, in some capacity. Right. So,
yeah,
using that as research and development for my new games, but yeah, it's very important. Especially when trying to have the discipline to write new songs and not just as inspiration strikes to actually kind of sit down and practice what I'm doing and stuff like that. I mean, it's definitely helping keep my house clean more. I don't feel like I'm rushing around and stuff like that. But I guess I haven't really had I haven't had a day job since before my son was born, because me and my wife sort of made that decision to, you know, one of us is going to work nights and watch the kid and one's going to work days. And so I've always worked night jobs. And so I've always had sort of I have to figure out how my day is going to go. And it is grueling. it's a weird, you know, experience where I mean, I can basically do anything, but then at the end of the day, if I haven't, it feels like shit. So, yeah, at least having my couple of projects, that I know I have to get done during the week, I can kind of disperse it through a couple of days and not feel totally overwhelmed and stuff like that. Cause along those lines, I have a new podcast that I didn't start it. My good friend Scott Pash of DCPC Live started it. Yeah. So I was on the first episode, and then he has had me as a co-host since then. And so editing that and stuff like that keeps me busy, but it is a lot of just, hey, you got to do something.
Right.
You know?
And I think if we talk about a mental health perspective thing, right? Lots of people tell me, right, if I didn't have a job, right, I wouldn't know what to do. Whereas me, I'm like, well, I could spend 6 hours just playing the guitar every day, right? Mm-hmm. I would be happy doing that. And there is a balance, and it's dependent on the individual. But I do feel like there's real danger for people who quit their day jobs to sort of put a lot of pressure on themselves for output, right? I need mm-hmm. to do something. I need to create something. Otherwise, I'm not doing anything, right? So.
Right.
Are you going through any of those ideas? How are you dealing with any of that stuff?
It's a lot of back and forth. You know, there are obviously some days and some weeks where I feel super productive and can get stuff out. And there's some weeks that I just don't even want to. I wish I had more of an answer for that, but I'm ADHD. So as long as it excites me, I can dive into it. But if it's not exciting, and I guess that's why I start picking up a lot of different projects, because it'll excite me for a while and then it just sort of fades.
Right. Yeah. And then right? So let's explore that a bit. If mm-hmm. something fades, then what happens? Mm-hmm. Like you just never pick it up again?
I either don't pick it up again, or I really want to and still don't. Or, you know, one day the excitement comes back and I do. Like I had a podcast that probably ended in like February or March of last year, And I'm like, I want to keep picking it back up. But then there's that feeling of like, well, you know, it's been almost 2 years. What's the point? Do I start a new one or do I just, and then I spend a lot of time thinking, you know, that's not doing either. So I'm with projects and stuff, I'm really, really go with the flow. So there's almost always something that's exciting me enough, or if I, it doesn't necessarily have to be just excitement at a base level, but it's something that I feel is worth it and worth the work. That'll always obviously motivate me to do it more.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think of projects lately that have really just stopped interesting me.
Do Wrath and the Wise Guys, does the band still excite you? Does it still interest you? How do you feel about your band?
Yeah. Honestly, that's one of the biggest things I look forward to every week. And when, you know, when we book shows is like, when am I not going to have to sit around and doing the behind the scenes work and stuff like that, which is exciting in its own right. But yeah, performing, especially with that band, is my top.
And we talked last time you were doing a little bit of touring. You were going into the Carolinas and doing stuff like that. What is the plan for 2024 for Wrath and the Wise Guys?
Well, this last July, we did another 2-week tour. I think it was 15 days. And next year, I think the focus is on more shorter runs,
okay,
as opposed to a whole 2 weeks. So we're looking at, right now, the middle of May and the end of July, and maybe something later on in the year, just to keep it more cost effective and less time to ask off for work at one time. And I have thought about that and how weird it is having to reformulate every year, especially where everybody is financially and, you know, with personal obligations and stuff like that. And trying to get the Wise Guys to come out and tour, because I've yet to get them. It's been with the Social Infants both times, which has been, it's been amazing. Like, they're such great guys to tour with and work with and just hang out. But, you know, obviously I want my whole, my band to get out there. So, but yeah, it's a weird constant reformulating and just not knowing really. 'Cause it's about the time where I would start talking about next July or next summer and start preparing that. And I'm really just trying to figure out what to do next, what's going to be most beneficial and most fun. Because obviously, you know, if I'm not having fun there, I'm not going to do it. So.
And then what about writing and releasing music? Is that something you're still doing primarily on your own? Are you including the rest of the band or your various projects? How are you approaching the creation part of it?
So it's still a lot of writing and recording demos and sending them to the guys and just picking up where I can. I don't want to say the guys aren't songwriters in their own right, but I mean, my bassist and my drummer have kind of admitted to not so much. And we lost our last lead guitarist a couple months ago now. I want to say it was before I went on tour, but I can't remember exactly now. And we just finally filled that. Our new lead guitar player played his first show with us this weekend, this Saturday. So that's cool. And yeah, it might be more sitting with him and seeing what we can do, but I've got, you know, songs lined up for a new EP or something. But my formulating with releases is we put out one EP the first year and then like nothing the next year. And so this year we put out a live record, a single, and a new EP, and we actually just got I mixed and mastered pretty much everything. So we got this new one remastered to come out for vinyl. And I think that'll be out in January next year. But other than a couple of compilations, I don't think we'll put out much original material next year either. We might do like an every other year thing. I mean, like, unless we get bored and just need it, you know, we're focused on videos and other kinds of media, just because we don't have a lot of that officially. So we're going to film hopefully next month a new music video and just keep doing that to rehash what we have.
Right. Are when you play shows, are people interested in physical media? Are people buying CDs? Are they buying vinyl? I know you did work with Scott. You mentioned Scott Passion, mm-hmm. DCPC Live. So are people mm-hmm. buying those things, are you finding?
Yes and no. I think a lot of it comes down to how personal you get with people. And I think the more personal you can get, the more willing they are to buy things just to have them. Because if you seem really cool, they want to get their hands on just about every collectible right. you've gotten. Even if people don't have a way to listen to CDs, they'll end up picking them up. And I include download cards and stuff like that to make it easier and all the links. But it's, I hate admitting that it seems to be dying. Unless you've already got.
So I don't know how Scott feels about it, but I definitely feel like vinyl sales are down from sort of the post-pandemic peak. I'm still selling mm-hmm. stuff, you know, when we get a cool band that writes a really good record. Shout out to Garage League. I just put out their record on my label,
great.
which I mean, yeah. the songs are awesome and it's a really good album, right? So I'm happy to have put it out and that sold pretty decently. But otherwise it really is hit or miss, and it's hard to figure out what works and what doesn't work, right? It really is difficult.
Right. And it's hard to figure out what, like we were talking about earlier, what's going to set you apart, because there's millions of punk bands that we've never even heard of that are probably doing better, you know, playing better and are way cooler than we are. I don't know. I mean, like I don't know if you've seen Billy Bats and the Made Men,
sure, yeah.
but they've been, I mean, for 5 years or more, touring constantly, killing it. Those guys are fucking fantastic live. And I don't know where it's going. You know, like it's, you know, it's hard to see, and we're kind of in the same boat. And it's just, I think I try to meet more people. I sent our new single to El Jefe to have him review it. And that was pretty funny, which, again, it didn't come to much, but a couple laughs, you know, because he started just trashing my mix. And I was like, oh, this is cool, but not what I wanted to hear, which I still won't complain. I'll tell anybody I'm happy he talked a lot of shit, because I went in and remixed it and it sounds amazing compared to what I originally sent him. So that was cool. But, you know, it's just I don't know how to set this, how to be different and make people excited about it.
For those bands that tour a lot, like Some Kind of Nightmare or mm-hmm. Billy Bats, you know, these are bands that tour all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
And people definitely know them. And mm-hmm. and hopefully they're doing well enough that they can continue. But it is hard to see what the end result might be and how that might be different from any band that doesn't tour a lot, right?
Right.
It's really hard to figure out what the best game plan is in 2023-2024. Because no, I don't think anyone has hit the formula, right? Here's, if you do these things, right? I guess maybe me and you should write a book. Here's how you do it, right? And get rich doing that.
I've thought about the formula, and, you know, Green Day seemed to have it perfectly when they did it, which is release a record, tour for a year, put out a new record, tour for a year. And that seemed to really do it. Now that's absolutely not doing it. I mean, like, it's great. And you get the name, like you said, Some Kind of Nightmare, everybody knows them, but why aren't they with Rancid? Why aren't they touring with, you know, like huge name bands? I don't get it. They really seem like they should be there. What's the next point? I think it might just be being cheesy and hiring a PR professional and all these other people that have connections and sort of just buy your way in.
Because it's hard to just live on Facebook, right? And try mm-hmm. to put your information out on Facebook, because it's a sea of nonsense and it's hard to break through. But to do something like hire a publicist and all of those things costs money, and mm-hmm. you know, what is your return going to be? And these are all part
and who?
Of right. Yeah.
Well, also, I've literally Googled, like, how do you get a good agent or a good manager or somebody, you know, and everybody that you do reach out to is like, oh, my roster's full. I'm not adding anybody. And then you see them and they're like, hey, we just added this band. I'm like, oh, fuck you. I'm like, I don't know how to garner the attention to get unsolicited.
Right.
You know, it's tough.
Yep.
Cause nobody, everybody's sending in demos and everybody says they're the next best thing. So how do you prove that you are without TikTok, I guess?
Yeah.
I feel like the old man at this point, but I really just don't get it.
So have you done any TikTok videos, Steve?
When I first got our band to TikTok, it was just moving our reels from Instagram and just reposting it. And I don't want to say it's too much, but I am not interested enough to learn all of the trends and be that cheesy, you know, but I might break down. You never know.
I think part of it is you have to figure out what your thing is, right? So if you're a band on tour, you do your TikTok every day about you're drinking milk in some bar, right? You know, it has to be a thing that you're doing all the time. And I do think that that's a lot of what TikTok is about, right? It's here's our thing and we're going to do our thing. And but in the end, like everything, everybody's doing that shit on TikTok. So what's the breakthrough thing? I don't want to leave this this episode on a downer note, because we're talking about how hard it is, right? But again, you've quit your job and you're trying to do something. You're trying to be an artist, right? You're trying to express yourself in a variety of mediums. How do you continue to push forward?
I have got this weird, unfounded sense of hope. It just doesn't go away. I don't know. I think when you were talking about just wanting to be an artist, I think that's one of the biggest things is just be an artist and don't worry about it. And just, you know, when I said being genuine and just actually dive headfirst into your art and stop worrying. And that's such a, you know, we've all got anxiety. How do you just stop worrying about whether or not I'm going to make it? And I feel right now like that's just the best course. Just make art and focus on your art. And if you can keep making, I don't know what better or worse art is, but stuff that can connect with more people, or connect with weirder people.
Right.
I don't know. Also, you know, maybe that's it. Find some super weirdos and then you're only selling your art to elites, and you know, they like that weird stuff, I guess. They just don't talk about it. So
the niche here, the 80-20 that you got to do, to use some business language, is you got to find the elite weirdos, right? Super weirdos.
Because again, if it comes down to making a living off of it, the money has to come from somewhere. So you're going to sell something. And if you're going to sell your art, we'll figure out how to make less art for more money.
I mean, that's the key to everything, right? That you need to sell 80% of your business to 20% of your audience, because that's where all the money is, right? So that's, of course, that everybody knows that, and it's, but it's hard to figure out what that thing is, right? But props to you for trying, right? You're trying. You can legitimately say you're making the effort.
Right. I mean, I definitely am. I don't know what the effort is, but I'm always doing something. So I hope, you know.
Right on. Well, shout out to you and to Scott Pash for his podcast.
Ooh. Oh, it's going to be backwards. That's so lame. He got me that in Orlando last time we were hanging out. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Look forward to some music. Look forward to Wrath and the Wise Guys, or what's the other band? I can't remember now.
Fear the Spider.
Fear the Spider.
Brand new EP out. So that's a lot of fun.
Right on. And of course, Stevie C, the techno, whatever, jungle DJ in Orlando. Not the same guy, everybody. So if you're going to see that dude, I mean, you still can, I guess, but it's not this Steve C. Steve, thanks for coming back on the show. Stay in touch, and I'll talk to you soon, man.
Yeah, hell yeah. Thank you for having me, man.